Item number three.
Item number three, a resolution by Corporation Council clarifying the transfer of management of the House of Correction to a superintendent.
Let's start with Deputy Counsel Grady.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, the 2013 budget had provisions for a transfer of the House of Correction from the sheriff to a superintendent. It's gone through several iterations since then in terms of the timing due to the legal action that's been pending. The last county board resolution that was adopted indicated that the transfer could occur as soon as July 31st, depending on the outcome of the litigation. As I think everyone's aware, last week, Judge Van Grunsven ruled in favor of the county on this lawsuit and found that this is a House of Correction, it has always been a House of Correction, and that the county board does have the authority to transfer it to a superintendent. I believe most of the committee is aware of, at least through media reports, if not otherwise, of recent actions of the sheriff in terms of transferring inmates, transferring employees between the facilities, and taking other actions with respect to the two facilities. He, or through his inspectors, has indicated that a transfer is imminent, whether we're ready or not, frankly, and that he is, in fact, over the weekend was going to transfer it to the county, but has delayed that. So the point being that we being the county of Milwaukee, need to be ready to assume control of the House of Correction at any moment. And that's why all these items are on your agenda. That's why this resolution has been drafted, is to allow for the transfer from the sheriff to a superintendent as soon as the superintendent is confirmed. Regardless of the pending litigation at this point, whether there's an appeal or there isn't any appeal, our belief is that the county needs to move forward with the transfer as soon as possible.
Attorney Grady, you made a comment about this past weekend, where you said that the sheriff was, in essence, going to transfer the responsibility to the superintendent. Could you expound on that, please?
Well, my understanding, and this isn't direct knowledge of myself, it's hearsay, I guess. It's Ms. Walker who got this phone call, but
Let's not go with hearsay. You got the call?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Over the weekend, I got a phone call that indicated that Inspector Schmidt had called Mike Hafeman to indicate that he was to meet him out at the House of Correction on Sunday afternoon.
It was yesterday.
Yes.
Okay.
And the implication or the what was being inferred was that the House of Correction was going to transfer. And so everyone was, you know, ready to assume control of the House of Correction, notwithstanding the fact that Mr. Hafeman had not been confirmed yet. I mean, practically speaking, if the transfer had occurred, he'd just have to be ready. Around noon, I got another correspondence that indicated that rather than the House of Correction being transferred on yesterday's date, that this morning that the sheriff was going to pursue a different legal avenue. And so I sit here now to confirm to you that I've spoken to the sheriff's attorney this morning, and he's indicated that he has, in fact, appealed the judge's decision last week, notwithstanding an appeal, though what Mr. Grady said is correct. The resolution that's before you will allow this body to proceed with the transfer short of a stay being issued by a judge, which would stop everything.
Very interesting. Would the Sheriff's Department like to respond, please?
Chairman, yes, sir, I would like to respond. Speculative phone calls without any information, obviously I have extreme objection to what was just stated. I had a one-minute conversation with Mr. Hafeman prior to the phone call that basically asked him if he worked weekends, and his response to me was yes. I'm like, well, we may have to talk this weekend. If we do, are you going to be available for me to call you? The answer was yes. There was no speculation as to any transfer. There was no speculation. There was no discussion about turning anything over the weekend. It was simply, we may have a chat this weekend. That was it. That's the totality of the conversation. I then subsequently called him back and said, hey, today's not going to be a good day. That was it. So the inference that was made is wild-eyed and whatever. It has nothing to do with reality.
And for our listening audience, I'm sorry, if I could ask both of you gentlemen to introduce yourselves.
Inspector Richard Schmidt, Senior Commander for the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, and welcome to the new supervisors.
Good morning, Mr. Sherman. My name is Michael Whitcomb. I'm the attorney for the sheriff as regards the transition of the Franklin facility from the sheriff to the county executive. The court rendered its decision last Wednesday. This morning, the notice of appeal was filed to the Court of Appeals. From my interpretation of the resolution on this matter, the litigation is not terminated because an appeal has been filed. Therefore, according to the existing resolution, the transition is not yet ripe. I would recommend that this committee withhold action pending a decision by the Court of Appeals. I want an opportunity to discuss with the Corporation Counsel's office as to how we may perhaps resolve this matter without further litigation. I was before the court this morning to get a date to file a motion to stay, if necessary, the decision of the court. And upon my call to the county's private attorney, with the court's clerk, we'll have a date for that motion sometime in the immediate future where the court will consider whether or not to stay the impact or the implementation of his decision pending the decision by the Court of Appeals. If there's need for that motion, and if that motion is denied, the next step would be to go to the Court of Appeals to file the same motion for a stay. Yeah, the appellate practice procedure is first request the stay from the trial court, and then if that's denied, request a stay from the Court of Appeals. So it appears prudent to withhold the implementation of any transition until at least there's a ruling on the stay, and perhaps this matter could be resolved by attorneys without the necessity of further litigation.
Okay, I know that we've got audience members that are going to be weighing in, but I'm going to look to my colleagues first. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have a motion to approve yet?
Not yet, no.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item 3, and then I would just like to make a comment to the Sheriff's Department, and that is I think we're past the point of reasonable litigation, and that now the only thing really at stake is your professional reputation, and that the transition should go as smoothly as possible. And I think that we can all be professional here and that we can come to an appropriate transition plan. When we go to, if you want to pursue appeals and stuff, it just looks frivolous and it just damages your reputation. So I would hope that you know, the sheriff would say, okay, they you know, won in court, and we move on, and that we act like the professional organization that the Sheriff's Department claims they are. I know that the people that work there are, and I know you're sometimes forced to do things you don't like to do, but there comes a point where we have to just say, okay, enough is enough, and we act like professionals, and we move on. So I would hope that you wouldn't drag this out anymore. One last question. For Corp Counsel, have we authorized Mr. Whitcomb to be the sheriff's representative? You know, for whose dime is he on? Put it that way.
Okay, Attorney Grady.
Mr. Chairman, before the sheriff commenced this lawsuit, he approached our office about representing him in the lawsuit, and we gave him what I think is an obvious answer that we couldn't represent the sheriff against Milwaukee County, and he would have to have his own counsel. I believe that he is using the authority under Chapter 56.30 of the ordinances, which allows him to enter into a professional services contract as long as it's under $50,000. And I believe that he has done that using his budget. I'm not sure what line item, but using his budget to do that. That's my understanding of what he has done.
Because I just want to make that clear that, you know, to the taxpayers, you know, it was pretty clear the judge made a ruling, a summary judgment, all the facts were laid out. Now we're just wasting taxpayers' dollars to go and file appeals and try and seek stays and all this kind of stuff. So if everyone is interested in cost-effective government and all that kind of stuff, you know, maybe Sheriff Clark should pay out of his own pocket if he wants to appeal this thing. The judge has ruled. Let's move on. Thank you.
Other committee members? If not, we do have some audience. All right, Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I guess, too, I'm not an attorney, but, you know, we all had a chance to read the decision, and it'll be, I guess, interesting to see where you're going to appeal. I mean, in all three major areas that the sheriff asserted, those were knocked down. And it seems pretty clear. It just goes to me, I guess I'm pleading for kind of common sense and kind of fiscal responsibility here, too, that, you know, the sheriff was on record, and one time we all remember when we've talked about this issue for a number of years, and he said, you know, I really not interested in running mental health. I'm really not interested in running a house of correction. We kind of forced him to do that out of necessity, which we all know and we've talked about before. So to try to make an argument that it is a jail and he does have statutory responsibility, I mean, it didn't cut it. And I know it's one, you know, everybody has the right to appeal. But we're just looking at this in practicality and for fiscal responsibility, too. I would make that plea as well. It seemed to be, you know, to save face or, you know, a spurious argument to start with the court. I mean, you know, to my non-professional reading, I'll admit that certainly, but it was so clear in all these areas that I don't know what you're basing it on, the appeal from the legal arguments that I read. And geez, if there was a chance to look at this before, you know, Attorney Wincombe said, well, you know, maybe we could talk about this now and work something out. Why in heaven's name didn't we try to do this for the last several months when we had all this crisis going on to try to work together and come to some resolution and have a real organized system of change? This is one of the reasons I thought we were moving too fast and had many concerns was that there's a lot of cooperation needed, a lot of legalities that were mentioned here to make this transference. And it would just seem, you know, he'd be, we'd be a much bigger organization, a much better government. We're trying to cooperate in this area that, you know, put personalities aside here, and I know that's not always easy. I think the county exec has problems in that area too. But this seems so clear, and to just elongate this when, you know, you can appeal to the Supreme Court, and I think a 99% chance this decision isn't going to change. So if there is a chance that you talked about, I mean, there is a clear decision we have right now. There's no question about that. So with that knowledge, if you say there's a chance to work these things out, you know, A, I wish it had been done before, to say the least, to save all this money and angst and this obvious situation that I think has been just incredibly bad. And B, you know, if it's could have been done, then we can still do it whether this decision is made, well, this decision is done, and maybe wouldn't have to have appeal and all this extra time. When you know this is going to kind of be inevitable, I think the respected Inspector Schmidt, that I certainly do, has always been candid and forthright with us. He, you know, I'm not going to go by phone conversations. I don't know what was said, of course, but I think you're reaching out and saying, you know, this seems to be inevitable. It seems to me your comment seems to me this is inevitable, that it's going to come. So why can't it be sooner than later, for God's sakes, for all of our benefits and our constituents? Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This process began during the budget hearings last fall. Supervisor Jerzyk and then Supervisor Harris came up with a compromise by which the transfer of to a superintendent was to have occurred January 1st. That was pushed back to April 1st. Subsequently, a resolution was passed to push that back until July 31st, until such time that a decision was rendered. A decision has been rendered, and I'm going to vote to approve this motion made by Supervisor Weishaupt. I think it's time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we do have some audience members that would like to weigh in. Attorney Whitcomb?
Just one comment, which related to my earlier comment. The issue in the case is not the authority of the county to transfer a house of correction under a superintendent appointed by the county board. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not the county did it correctly in the budget by the language that it used. That has always been the issue. That issue was on the table when the litigation was commenced. The point is that if what the county wants to do is to have a house of correction under the supervision of a superintendent managed by the county board, as statute requires, just adopt a resolution to that effect and we're done. But it has not done correctly, and unless it had been done correctly, what we're in a situation is not challenging authority. We're in a situation that if it did not occur, all higher court's going to do, county, you didn't do it right, go back and do it correctly. Much like attorneys file complaints and the court says, wait a minute, that complaint is faulty, try again, you file an amended complaint and you stay in court. And that can be resolved without further appeal. That's my only point.
Thank you. I'm going to look to Kit Murphy, McNally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. I really hope just to sign in support of this and not speak. I just feel like we've gone into the land of bizarro here. In light of things that happened last week, I don't know how you cannot transfer the superintendent's, the house correction to the authority of the superintendent today. There are more than 1,600 men and women down at the House of Correction. Somebody has got to care about what's happening to them, has got to care about their families and what the trauma that's created by this kind of Never Never Land has on people. It's not right, it's not just, and everything you have done so far to move this forward, starting back at the budget hearings, has been what should happen to transfer the House of Correction. I was here when it was first given to the sheriff, and at that time, supervisors asked Corporation Council, what if we want to take control back? And the answer was, you take it back. That certainly fits with the statutes. It fits with the whole philosophy when it was initially transferred in an emergency situation. Please don't wait to see if a judge rules for a stay. I'm not a lawyer, but the lawyers I've talked to say it's highly unlikely, given the ruling by the judge, that a stay would be granted. Let's move ahead now. There's too many lives involved not to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole Young-Todd, please. Just wanted to register. Okay. And I'm not sure.
They don't want to talk.
They don't want to talk. They just. Okay. So we have a motion by Supervisor Weishaupt. And Ms. Colton, please.
Just one quick comment that we've been preparing for this transition for many months now, and we feel completely ready to take control over the management as of today.
Thank you. I'm going to pass the gavel to Supervisor Broderick because he has not spoken on it.
Okay. Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason I want to speak is that I have become increasingly frustrated with the yin and yang of what's going on with the House of Correction and the Sheriff's Department. And I've tried to play nice. I've tried to be cooperative. And yet my phone blows up on Friday with constituents. Yes, we all have constituents who are also employees, and talking about the different things that are going on with transfer of inmates, transfer of employees, transfer of canine units, and all of this unrest. And I say to myself, why is that necessary? What is going on? At agenda set, I asked if we could put the confirmation of Mr. Haveman on the agenda with the purview that I did not want anybody embarrassed. I was given every indication, go ahead, put it on. Now, last minute, we get an appeal, and I guess I'm not surprised. But what disappoints me is all of this last-minute hanky-panky crap going on. And regardless of what a judge says, I guess this county board needs to play defense. We better have a superintendent, because who knows, whenever, whatever, if our sheriff is not going to be running the House of Correction, we've got a superintendent. And that is why I needed to say something, because there's a lot of games going on here, and that's not fair to people. I know the county board is a big punching bag lately, but I'll be darned if we're going to be put in a position where we're going to be exploited, where we're going to be, you know, caught, you know, without being responsible, without being ready. We have to have a superintendent, regardless of what goes on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments by committee members? Supervisor Jurczyk?
Just two quick follow-ups. I want to remind the committee that when myself and Supervisor Harris at the time presented the budget amendments to switch over to a superintendent, the sheriff indicated he would cooperate with that. So that's number one. And number two, we heard from the attorney, they would love to have us say we need a resolution to transfer it. It would justify his fee request and would justify his arguments. I would strongly recommend we not even entertain that, because we have clearly run a House of Correction. We continue to do so, and we continue to do so with at least the previous, at the time of the budget, cooperation of the sheriff. So I agree with Supervisor Borkowski's comment. This has been a lot of game playing. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions by or comments by committee members? Hearing none, the motion before us by Supervisor Wyshon is to approve item number 3. If there is no further comment, please call the roll.
Supervisors Johnson?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Rainey?
Aye.
Steskounis?
No.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The motion to approve is approved.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Broderick. At this time, there is nothing further in front of this committee, so we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.